Welcome to Vows to Keep Radio with David and Tracy Sellers. The mission of Vows to Keep is to help couples develop a biblically healthy marriage through the application of God's Word and a deeper relationship with Him. They desire to help you and your spouse grow closer to each other and closer to the heart of God's design for your marriage. Now, here's David and Tracy with today's broadcast.
Bill and Janet, thank you so much for joining us again today on Vows to Keep Radio. We're excited to do part two of our special interview with you. Let me recap a little bit for the listeners. You entered into marriage with a lot of common expectations that many of us enter into marriage with. Bill, you were looking for that trophy wife. Janet, you were looking for the fairy tale prince to bring you the fairy tale marriage. But through the complications of things like Vietnam, alcoholism, and misguided expectations of each other, not to mention a lack of a strong foundation in Jesus Christ, marriage for you turned out to be more of a challenge to keep Bill's heart turned toward home and less like the fairy tale that both of you had in mind. Bill, you came back from Vietnam a different person. You said so in your own words. And in order to be who you thought you wanted to be, you spend less and less time at home and more time at the bar. Drinking becomes a way of life, and it even encroaches into your work life, which at the time was driving tractor trailer. And Bill, you told us about how the beer and the driving merged one night at work, and you ended up with very serious injuries and quite a long hospital stay. We can look back and see that God was trying to get your attention. He hadn't gotten through even at this point, but that didn't mean he was done trying. You continued along your path of destruction, including affairs and a separation between you and Janet, but God still pursued. Praise God for that. He sent people into your life to show you His love and tell you His truth. And one night in a situation that you told us about that was nothing short of a miracle, you didn't take your own life, and instead you gave that life to Christ.
That brings us up to speed on the path that Bill and Janet were on. It was one of great destruction. And now in today's show, we'll focus on how God brought them back together from a moment that looked impossible by all the world's measurable ways. But if you want to hear it in full, I would encourage you to go to our website, vowstokeep.com, and listen to our last broadcast.
So how are we sitting here with you today after now what's been 47 years of marriage?
When my life started to get infiltrated by Christ, I gave myself to Him 100%. I was studying God's Word. I was going to Bible studies with the neighbor that led me to Christ. But I was absorbing God's Word like a sponge. And I learned from that no matter what my wife did, I wasn't going to give up God. And I told her that. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to give up God. God is first in my life. Well, I think she kind of scratched her head on that maybe, because that's not Bill.
That's not the Bill she knew.
No. And so it was through my time of following Christ and what I became, what I worked towards, not became, because I'm 68 years old and I'm still working at it.
God's still working on you.
Absolutely. It was the dedication to Jesus Christ. Through that, then she started to see a difference. I started to see a difference. I started making godly choices instead of sinful choices. I began to see how God would bring people into my life to show me His graciousness, His love, His mercy. With that, my desire never left for her or the family. But it was later on that I got the phone call from her saying, Bill, we need to see a counselor, and he's got to be a Christian counselor. And I said, okay, great. And so I pursued that.
What led to that heart change in you, Janet?
All through this trial, there was godly people. God had orchestrated and put those people in our lives. So there was a part of me that was crying out to God, and I wanted a greater understanding, but I wasn't looking for it in the right places. I was still looking for it in the created world. I was missing the piece of the puzzle, but I knew I wanted godly counsel to move on with my life. My desire was not for reconciliation, because in my mind, that was not possible, but I wanted God-approved divorce.
I think a lot of people go into counseling with that mindset. I don't think you're alone in that.
Yes, I wanted the counselor to show Bill that there was no way that this marriage could be saved. When we got to the counselor, and this is God's mercy, through the Holy Spirit, What I left with that day was the understanding of what Paul is writing about in Ephesians 1. He's praying for the believers that the eyes of their heart could be open so that we would know the hope to which he has called us to, and that he has given us an inheritance of many riches. And in that inheritance is power. And it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It was after that conversation and realizing those truths that I realized I had made God very small in my life. And it takes a very big God to raise Christ from the dead and to send his only son. And for the first time, I started to understand the things that God had for me were not only that kind of love, but instruction. And if we were to submit our lives to him, that what we thought was impossible is totally possible. If God has that kind of power and that kind of power lives in me with the Holy Spirit, that's what gave me hope that day, that I didn't have to be able. I am totally unable to know what my life needs, to know what my marriage needs, to know what my children need. I can only know by listening to God's instruction, and he is fully able to equip us to not only love one another, but to forgive one another, which would come later. And that's the hope I walked away with that day, that I was unable, but that God was fully able.
And there's so much hope in that.
And that's the beauty of the gospel. Remember the scripture, he says, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. He came to set us free from ourselves. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin. And that only comes through a personal relationship with him. Jesus calls us to repent of our sins. And repentance is to turn away from our own ways and become like Christ, to clothe ourselves with the characteristics of Christ, which gives us the ability to love.
And Bill was really understanding the gospel for the first time when he prayed with the neighbor. You had some understanding of the gospel, but had yet to truly grasp it in its fullness and the power of Christ for you as a person and for you in your life. You're both walking this path that's bringing you to a juncture of reconciliation toward one another. And as you're on that path, you're walking out these truths now that
yes.
are in the scriptures.
What I came to understand is that Christ didn't come just to deliver us from our sin. He called us to a life of faith. And that takes diligence. That takes knowing God. That takes knowing the word and then responding with that faith with obedience.
And that's that commitment Bill was talking about earlier. Believing, trusting Jesus as our Savior. That's the first step. And then saying, Lord, I surrender it all to you. And that's the commitment I'm making. And then the time in his word, the time spent in prayer, the time getting to know your Savior mm-hmm. and letting the Holy Spirit work out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life.
As all of us enter into marriage, we have these expectations. We have these goals that marriage is going to accomplish for me. And God shows us very quickly through the hopeless and the desperation we find by being self-seeking that that is not his purpose in marriage. But he uses the trials that we've created to draw us to him. You came to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. Talk about the restoration process.
I was learning about who and what God is, how he wants me to live his story. It's not about Bill anymore. It's not about Janet. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my reconciliation started. It didn't start with my wife. It started with him. And from that, I learned what it meant to be a husband and then be able to love my wife. She was still apprehensive. You have to remind you, Bill, I'm not here to fix this marriage. It's to prove that we can get divorced. And that went on for a bit of the counsel. She saw my obedience and faithfulness to him because I was 100% on board with God. And whatever he did with her, to her, I was okay with.
That is such a strong point. Many times as we are struggling in a marriage, it is our perception that if we can just commit ourselves to that other person, commit ourselves to this marriage, to sticking in it no matter what happens, that we will get through it. And in fact, what you're saying is distinctly different.
Absolutely.
You're saying, I had to have commitment to my God and Savior, I'd have a commitment to follow through in his truths, and it was the evidence of that that gave her confidence that reconciliation might be possible.
She was hearing, men can't change. I was becoming evidence that God can change anybody.
During our time of separation, I did hear the messages of the world that men can't change, that you deserve to be happy, you should start over, you need to protect yourself. I never once heard from those people, you need to trust God because he has a plan and he works through all things. There was so much damage that had been done, it was overwhelming to think about how I could trust this man again. He had lied and disappointed so many times and cheated. As I grew in my relationship with the Lord, I didn't have to necessarily trust Bill. I could see that God was working in his life through counsel and through being in the Word. I realized that I could trust God to work in our marriage.
I love to hear how God worked in your hearts individually and how he brought you back together. I can hear how God was using the process of reconciliation to unite you again in marriage, to make you one again. But this time, it looks a lot different. Bill, you're living under the same roof again. How is it different from before, now that you know Christ?
When we got back together, and I have to preempt this, not to make a long story any longer, in July of that year, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that Janet would be home before Christmas. We were still going through counsel. I told my family that. They laughed at me. On December the 24th at 8 o'clock, I finished moving her back home. That began a tremendous awakening in me of what marriage was all about. I had to serve her. I had to serve my kids. I had to be obedient to what God would have me do. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. As we began to live our life under the same roof, there were many trials. And Janet was watching me. She didn't trust me, so she would put me to the test. But as our life went on, we trusted in Christ. We began to see how much I needed her and she needed me as children of God. We were trying to be a godly family. I was unemployed. We have no money. They shut our electricity off and our friends would come over and say, well, aren't you going to invite me in? No. And it was like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. He says, Bill, what's wrong? Come to find out, I had to tell him. Our electricity bill got paid. I never asked for that. I knew God would fix it somehow. He did. We would come home after being gone and find a couple bags of groceries on our front steps. A couple took us on vacation to Canada. While we were gone, our house was completely re-roofed. It was leaking so bad the ceiling fell in the living room. Things like that were beginning to happen, and it was a blessing to see it happen, but by no means was it an expectation. And it made Janet and I grow stronger together.
I heard you say, now you have the opportunity to serve Janet.
Yes.
And that was a new concept, I'm guessing.
Yes, because it wasn't about Bill anymore. It was about her. Before, whatever I would do would benefit Bill, and it would help the situation for me. Mm-hmm. I was totally out of it. I would do whatever I could to serve her, not as a doormat. I was no doormat. But I would give her almost her desires. You have to keep in mind, her desires now are godly desires. They're not personal desires.
So clearly there was a difference, Bill, in how you related to your wife. It was now through the lens of, how would God want me to love this woman?
Yeah. Yes.
Janet, you're under the same roof again. What did that look like for you?
It is true. There was a night and day difference in Bill after the girls and I moved back home. I had been running the family for quite some time, almost like a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for me not to want to always be in control. All these years, I had yearned for Bill to take a godly leadership over our home. And yet, now that it was real, it was difficult for me to let go. It took me some time to understand that God had redeemed. And in that redemptive love, we are to participate in what God is doing in our spouse's life. One of the other things that I was dealing with was forgiveness. That did not come overnight. As we sat in counseling, I wanted to trust God and I wanted to love my husband more than I had ever loved him before. So as I was learning how to do that, I had to get out of God's way and let him teach Bill how to be a leader of our home instead of trying to take over.
And those two are very tied together, because when we've seen someone make a mistake and now we're submitting ourselves to their leadership, those past mistakes are constantly on our minds.
Yes. And when Bill mentioned that I would test him, this is true. And that sounds ugly, but there were many ways in which I wanted him to keep proving that this was real. That was an unfair expectation, but as he stayed submitted to the Lord in faith, then he was demonstrating his faithfulness to myself and the family.
So you're living under the same roof together, but forgiveness is not automatic. It doesn't happen in one immediate step. It is a process, just like Bill talked about the process of reconciliation. The process of forgiveness was not an instant thing either.
The need to forgive and the anger that I still was holding on to was something that I was struggling with. We have to remember that sin still lives in us. Even though we've been reconciled to Christ, sin still lives with us, and that struggle is real every day. So like you said, things remind us of what happened before or what's been in our past. But for me, the anger was something I was holding on to in case I needed protection. Colossians 3:10 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So the fact that I was hanging on to unforgiveness, I realized something had to change.
This wasn't my trophy anymore. This was my spouse. This is the gift that God gave me, and it's such a special gift.
I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, it's Christ's love that compels us. And I hear you saying that I've been loved on by Christ, and now I have this overflow that I can love on someone outside of my own abilities. I've received Christ's love. It's been poured into me. And now I have this grand opportunity to love on the closest person in this earthly life I'll ever have. And that happens to be my spouse.
Amen. Yes.
And she gets to be the recipient of that kind of love. It might not be perfect because you're not perfect. We're human. We're sinners. But you're learning together. You're walking in love towards one another. And what a change that brings to a marriage. And then what a picture to the world that brings of Christ.
Recognizing that forgiveness, it's not something that is just as simple as a conversation that I say, do you forgive me? And you say yes. But rather, there's fruit from that forgiveness, if you will. What did that fruit look like in your marriage as you guys were beginning to reconcile?
Before I had a better understanding of God, I did not understand God's grace. God's grace is a love that he pours over us and accepts us through Jesus Christ, but it's something that we don't deserve. And that same kind of grace is what we need to have active in our marriages. We're two sinners living together. I had him on the hook. I was still testing his faithfulness. I read those godly characteristics out of that scripture, and that's what God had equipped me with. I needed to take off the bitterness. I needed to take off the anger and the unforgiveness and put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility.
God can reconcile what us as men and women would say is hopeless. It's amazing to hear this story, knowing that some of the greatest brokenness that can happen in a marriage happened to you. Yet, there's a process by which restoration comes through applying God's word, and we recognize the sweet purpose and the design for marriage. So Bill, share with the listeners, first of all, what did you find is the purpose for marriage?
The purpose of a marriage is to be an example of God's love for us. It's that representation of Christ is what marriage is all about.
That purpose that God designed for marriage is that two people coming together focusing on the Lord as the center of that marriage then allows them, even in their differences, even in the challenges, even in the trials that come in marriage, they're looking to that one source for truth and for strength. And because of that, there's unity. And because of that, we are a testimony to the rest of the world. They have a need for Christ that they don't even know they have. That is how marriage works, to draw people to Christ.
My spouse is anybody's spouse is the greatest gift that God has ever given. And how would you treat such a gift? It's to be cherished, but it's to be loved the way God loves us.
God has given you a testimony that is powerful, that puts His love, His grace, His power all on display. And all of this love and this grace and this redemptive power, well, it could have been just a gift from God for you and for your family. But as I have witnessed over the past 7 years, it has truly been a gift for countless other broken families. A testimony is called a testimony because when it's shared, it tells others the truth about God's hope, right where they might be without hope. Remember, most of what we've been talking about is years ago, He laid on your hearts that it would be an important part of your life calling. Not to talk about you, but to talk about the salvation that God can bring to a marriage that is without Him. So what started that process for you all those years ago?
When we first were approached to give our testimony, and that means what God has done to take a broken, devastated marriage and heal it, it was amazing to see the number of people that were in the audience with tears in their eyes, because they could relate. And then it came, people would come and ask us how we accomplished that. And our answer, of course, was because of Jesus Christ. It was falling under His submission of what a marriage is supposed to be.
God brought Bill and Jan into our lives in, I think, 2010. And as you guys learned of Vows to Keep, God brought us together. And so 4 years ago, you guys joined Vows to Keep as part of the counseling team. Counseling really wasn't a new thing for you guys. You had been doing it for years informally. But to take the next step, you took over a year of biblical counseling training, and now together you serve and you share biblical truth with multiple couples every week.
And they come to us not for, can Bill and Janet fix them, but they come to us seeking the hope that only Jesus Christ can give them. It can be healed. Jesus Christ can help heal that marriage. And so this is what we do now, because God did it for us. We want to share Christ with them so He can heal their marriage also. If you find yourself in a situation where Janet and I were, then we would be more than happy to help you understand how God can fix the marriage, how God can bring restoration, how God can be God, how awesome He is.
Thank you, Bill and Janet, for coming on today's program and sharing the heart of Vows to Keep. Not just your heart, not just our heart, but we have other couples on our counseling team as well that have a heart to serve marriages with God's word, with God's truth, to help you and restore into something that reflects the truth about who God is and about what His design for marriage is really all about. If you are a marriage in need, go to our website, vowstokeep.com, find the contact page, and we would be happy to work with you.
You're listening to Vows to Keep Radio with David and Tracy Sellers. Vows to Keep wants to help. If you have a marriage question, please email questions@vowstokeep.com.
It's our prayer each week to bring biblical truth for your marriage with the hope that God would actually rule your marriage. We want to extend a heartfelt thank you to those who are already giving to this ministry each month. Did you know that Vows to Keep does more than a weekly radio program? We offer biblical marriage counseling for couples as well, regardless of a couple's financial ability. Consider times where you have received help with no ability to repay. This is the case for many couples who come to Vows to Keep. If you've derived benefit from this ministry, we would like to ask for your help to sustain and further extend the blessing for godly marriages. In order to continue to do what we're doing, we would like to ask for your support of $25 a month. To donate securely today, click the donate button at vowstokeep.com.
This program is sponsored by Vows to Keep of Zanesfield, Ohio.